Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You gotta do what Echo Park Jimmy wants to do, man. Let me tell you this. The older you do get, the more rules are gonna try to get you to follow. You just gotta keep on living, man. L-I-V-I-N. All right, Patrick, before we get started here today, I'm going to give you a quick, this has nothing to do with music, I'm just going to give you a quick TV recommendation.
Okay.
Okay?
Always ready?
I just started this last night. It's like the hottest thing going right now. So many people have recommended this show to me. And so I started to watch it last night, and it's really, really super good. It's called The Queen's Gambit. Have you heard of this show?
No, I have not.
It's on Netflix.
All right. I get that.
It's a 7-episode series.
Okay.
And the basic premise is that it's fictional, but it's about like a young chess prodigy in the late 60s.
Interesting.
Mid to late 60s. And
love that.
And I've watched, I'm 2 episodes in on the 7 episodes, and it's so good.
Oh, cool.
I can't wait to get back into it. And so
that sounds good to me.
There's
man.
Nothing music related that I can speak of. I mean, obviously there's like a score to it. It's a very cinematic show. I mean, the way they film these Netflix and, you know, streaming shows now are unbelievable.
Well, they're just like movies. Yeah.
They're not. Yeah. They're basically like movies. They're not like shows.
Not
like
at all. Not anymore.
We grew up with on TV.
Yep.
And it's really amazing. It's really, really an amazing show. So watch The Queen's Gambit.
I am so excited about
I don't
that.
Know if you know anything about chess. Have you ever played chess? Have you? Is that something
I mean, I know it's not as easy as checkers. It's about all I know,
I've never been good at it myself.
I don't even know how to play. I got to admit.
Oh, really?
Nope, never played.
I mean, I know how the pieces move, but that's the extent
that's more than I know. Yeah,
playing ability, like I have no sense of like the strategies or really what to do.
Right,
I would be crushed like a bug. Anyone who's even just a decent player would just kill me. Like I don't have that chess mind. My kids do, interestingly. They both play chess, and they're
really
they play against each other on their phones.
Wow, that's very cool. Like,
They play on their phones and they take turns and they play against each other, and I think that they get it. My son especially is very mathematically minded.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that works for him. But anyway, The Queen's Gambit. Check that out. It's exceptional. It's a period piece and it looks fantastic, and it's set in Kentucky, which is an interesting thing too, and it's really cool. It's
all
really,
right.
really cool.
Well, all right. If you can close this episode out, I'm going to go all check right. it out right all now. Right.
That has nothing to do with anything music related. I just want to throw that out there. The show is called Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we do talk about music. And from time to time, we'll get phone calls into our suburban party line.
Yeah.
And one guy in particular, he's an old friend of mine. He'll call in and he'll just leave like a series of messages. And usually I pre-screen the messages before we play them on the show. And I didn't really have time to do that this time, so I'm hearing it fresh for the first time. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I as ready as I ever am. Yeah, it's going to be great.
All right, so we have a lot of messages here from a guy you know as Echo Park Jimmy.
Tired of waiting for EPJ. All right, people. What's everybody up to? I've been stuck in Guam, but I'm back in my underground lair. I just miss my suburban party people. 612-440-1984. Just like the song. 419-867-5309. Maybe we could do it like that. 4401984. Why was I playing So Tired of Waiting? It took me forever to get back. I was stuck in Guam, and with a guy named John Bon Jovi. Did you know that John Bon Jovi's first job was on the Star Wars Christmas special back when he was just getting jobs paying the bills? How is Jim and Patrick? How is Jim and Patrick? I am so sorry to bother you, but I just have a few random notes and a few just raves. I figure you got all the slots figured out in the hive mind, but I am still super, uber, number one fan of Rockin' the Suburbs. From Silver Lake to Scotland, from Redondo to Rehoboth, from North Hollywood to Falun, Sweden, from North Hollywood to Nicholas Nygaard. Hey, did you know that Keith Richards, back in his, getting in trouble with the law days, he wrote a song about this girl who sold him out with the faraway eyes? I think it's called, Don't Trust a Girl with Faraway Eyes. And also, did you know that Bruce Springsteen was supposed to be, he was supposed to do the soundtrack to Mask. But I think they're no, man. And so Tom Petty did it or something. You got to join the rat race, fellas. I just love Jim and Patrick. I love what they bring us, this community. But even if you're new to the community, just come and join in. Music heals everything. Did you guys hear Kiss Week? When Patrick took over the reins, took it back from all the haters, and proved that Kiss lives on. Listen to that week and tell me you are not singing some Kiss song. And I love how he broke up the episodes with, different moods for each episode. But my favorite one was the one where he kind of just was him, and it was like an audio version of classic albums. Did you ever watch that TV show? Even Patrick's voice was, so perfect. I don't know what else I can say, except I could listen to Jesse Dayton all day talk about stuff, or even Eric Astor in the infamous Furnace Records tour talking about the pop on some Neil Young pressing. He hits the pick to the pick guard. This record's flawless. You're hearing a level of clarity that's not been heard for 40 years. Think of all the streaming we listen to, and we don't hear any of the pops and clicks, but we also don't get that low range or the high range. I got a whole 5 minutes on how they made music. They determined the music wrong, but that's a whole episode. So, did you know that secret album drops out of nowhere are actually strategically dropped in dead spots in pop culture? The record label will be okay, there's no Taylor Swift coming out, so let's pop out this Justin Timberlake, and it's a surprise drop. No. Those are mostly strategically dropped. But the reason Echo Park Jimmy, I love when Jim and Patrick are at the end of the episode, they finally did it. They're if we didn't introduce ourselves, we're Jim and Patrick, and thank you, good night. But I'm Echo Park Jimmy, or Jimmy Petrillo, or when I'm running for office, just James Harvey Petrillo. But I'm excited because it's the 1,000th episode of Rockin' the Suburbs coming out. Can you believe it? Matt Windler, sorry to keep your fingers rolling on the answering machine, but this is the only way Echo Park Jimmy can communicate, is through the Suburban Party line. And like I said, I was stuck in Guam. I was doing a secret government project to work on a vaccine, and now the vaccine's here. I was so tired of waiting, because you know why. There's so much waiting this year. Waiting, waiting, waiting. But we're finally... Mercury is out of retrograde, if you will. But like I said, Steven Routledge picks all the new music, and we're all a hive brain, so we all know good music now when we hear it. So Echo Park Jimmy is here just for random notes and to rave about the great episodes of Rockin' the Suburbs, which there were many. And we're approaching episode 1,000. I can't do the reverb. 1,000. Manny Mota. Just for reference, Mark Maron just passed 1,173. So he's a little ahead, but he's been doing it forever. Joe Rogan just did 1,561. Adam Scott and Scott Aukerman do a music podcast. They're probably in the hundreds, but their episodes are always like 3 hours long, which you won't get at Rockin' the Suburbs. They're always the perfect length, whether they're 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, 43 minutes. And then the Unspooled is the highest number I could find. It's Paul Scheer's movie podcast. That's at 3,015. So we're here at the countdown. I can stand here all day ringing these bells. That man just mixed 19's Nervous Breakdown in from the Israelites and then Superstar into Playground Love. He's a genius. But the 1,000th episode coming up is very exciting. And Rockin' the Suburbs, you've been on a roll. Let me just say, the Prince week, that was stellar. You know, the countdown, I'm sorry. And then Warren Zevon week, I mean, the input from everyone, and then some of the new band episodes, like Frank Muffin. You guys got to hear Frank Muffin. And some of the cool interviews. What was I saying?
Excuse me.
So for the 1,000th episode, we should all do a live call-in with California Uberales. 3, 2, 1. Exhale. Breathe in 4 seconds. I always like to try to give a TV music report and a movie music report because you don't understand how much Rockin' the Suburbs cover. New music, old music, classic music, Americana, Prince, Kiss. So if you watch the HBOs, which a lot of you do, Lovecraft Country. This isn't about the show necessarily, which I like, but the music selections are way out there, people. They use spoken word by, like, James Baldwin. At one point, they dropped an interview with Judy Garland about how evil the press can be. I've never heard that used. It was fascinating. But their musical choices are just as good, so track down that show. And then the movie Jim reviewed yesterday about the guy who is the only one who remembers the Beatles. It was like you said, it was okay. It had its moments. But I wish they took more of, like, not a scientific view, but just, like, you'd think of all these Beatles questions. The best parts of the movie where he discovered other things that didn't exist anymore, like Coca-Cola or Harry Potter, which the world would be better, would be better without that. But I love the biggest laugh was when he realized, like, well, Beatlesque, that's what I kept thinking. There'd be so much music that didn't exist because they invented so many genres. And he looks up Oasis, and they completely don't exist. And he's like, makes sense. So it got me, it's like a thought experiment. Like, what music would be missing if the Beatles actually didn't exist? Because so much draws on that. And I think a new term you could add is, like, Springsteen-esque. And, like, that backyard episode you guys did where you tried to get, like, Rob Gates to listen to new music and go, like, this is like Springsteen. You'll like this. And you played him, it was hilarious. You played Raconteurs. And whoever was listening to Raconteurs, they're like, it sounds like speed metal. Like, Jack White is not speed metal. He can play the guitar fast. Oh, please, if you haven't, watch Eddie, the week Eddie Van Halen passed away, watch Jack White on SNL. Hey, I was talking about Springsteen-esque, if you can believe it. I wanted to focus on, Class, let's talk about bands that you would like Springsteen. If you listen to Springsteen, you would like this music. But, you know, it's deeper than that. I'm talking about a couple of new albums, folks. I want to start with The Killers. And it's their sixth album, Imploding the Mirage. Very, very delicious tracks on this, you guys. But I wanted to focus on the first track, because it's got, if you like Roy Bittan, it's got Springsteen-esque piano. It's got everything you want in a Killers album, but it's got this extra sheen. I think you've spoken of caution. We're throwing caution. It's a decent single, but you have to listen to the guitar solo by Lindsey Sir Buckingham. It's very, very Lindsey. It's a very good guitar solo. And then another track has a sample from Can and New. Can and Nith. So if you need an alternative to Bruce other than Eddie and the Cruisers, you can't go wrong with The Killers. There's just some excellent tracks. They're inspired by, they lost their guitar player, but the drummer just keeps it just pumping. It's just, it's very, very good. So the reason I'm having trouble grasping the words is it's just, you know, it's music. Sometimes it's hard to describe. But the latest Killers album is, you know, it's their best in years. And then the other album that really caught my eye, because what I'm really trying to focus on is that we're single-driven. Singles, singles, singles. So it's hard to focus on an album. So the best way to do it is through a concept. So I would say that Imploding the Mirage by The Killers is semi, you know, concept. Mainly just look at the cover for it, which is impossible to describe, but it's this amazing landscape. Thomas Blackshear's Dance of the Wind and Storm. So Brandon Flowers kept that up on the studio wall and focused on it, and like every song that fit that, you know. So it's a more, you know, esoteric theme. But the other album that I think Bruce fans would like is, it's also a concept album, Airborne Toxic Event. It's also their sixth long player. It's called Hollywood Park. and Hollywood Park was torn down right about the time that the lead singer of Airborne, his name's Mikel Jolet, his dad passed away. But he wrote a book that coincided with the album, but it's very cinematic. And his life is very just chock full of stories. He was in this cult called Synanon, a California cult. And his dad, it was violent and kind of crazy. And his dad had got him out of there. And then his dad did some crazy stuff. But it's called Hollywood Park because he took him to Hollywood Park and kind of did bad stuff with him as a dad. But then towards the end of his life, they go there and talk about life. And the whole album is just really resonates from beginning to end, but it's also got that kind of Roy Bittan piano all through it. The title track, Hollywood Park, there's a song called Come On Out that's got an insane beat, very slinky, very Joy Division bass. Another piano heavy song is Everything I Love Is Broken, but the one that will just really just gets emotional is The Place We Meet Is 1,000 Feet Beneath the Racetrack. It's kind of a metaphor for where he thinks, you know, we all kind of like end up in dust, but he thinks he'll see his dad again one day. Beneath is 1,000 feet beneath the racetrack. Listen to that song on the Airborne Toxic Events Hollywood Park. There won't be a dry eye in the house. I'm telling you, folks. So sorry to take up so much of your time. I had a lot to talk about. We can get into some of the deeper stuff I wanted to talk about, like who's being used as grist to deliver fear so that we can have the politics we're having now, so that certain people can take power and use politics to their advantage. Which people are vulnerable now, and how are they being treated? The music lovers, the peace lovers, Tim Hoffman, Mike Wagner, who's looking out for them? Just, if you're looking for peace, don't feel bad about hoarding. I looked up hoarding, some stuff about hoarding. It's just an emotional reaction. Like, remember this, Scott Parks. Some people, like Echo Park Jimmy and Scott Parks, form like an intense connection. They see the aesthetic beauty in an object, and they can love it. Like that lady said about, you know, if it sparks joy, you know, Marie Kondo, then keep it. If it doesn't spark joy, a few things got ripped off out of my storage space that really sparked joy, but I could replace most of them. There was a few things that broke my heart, but most of them I could replace. What most people see as a mess, but it's really more layered and complex. So just, you know, we don't feel guilty if you see beauty in the ordinary. Why would I throw it away? Continuity of self, the process by which we connect our past and future selves. There's a child in you that had hopes, dreams, beliefs. Are you caring for that child? Are you honoring what they wanted? There's a future frail person in you, one that needs and will look back on life and decide, has it been a good life? Are we looking out for that person? Are you listening to enough music? Are you thinking about that Miami Doors show? That's where we'll pick it up next time. Oh, I also wanted to talk about Tim Hoffman using hup at a hootenanny. I love songs that use hup, so remind me. Hup. If she throws away too much, there's nothing left of her. Did you know they redid the quick dog note? A 1-year-old dog is now 30, a 4-year-old dog is 52, and then a 10-year-old dog is 70. So the old math of just multiply your dog like a 1-year-old dog is a 7-year-old. No. By the time a dog turns one, he's 30. It's like time to move out, buddy. Spot. I couldn't think of the typical dog name. But then the math works out. When they're 10, you can multiply it by 70, and then it slows down. So when they're 20, it's 140. So you're fine with all that. The podcast report is a quick note. I listened to a thing about Paola. Did you know Another Brick in the Wall, part two? You Better, You Bet. Burning Down the House. Adidas. These were all Paola, buddy. All Paola, buddy. Do you know the story that Todd Rundgren hates John Lennon after he, like, ran into him drunk at the Troubadour and he was acting like a buffoon with Harry Nilsson? And his whole, like, later 70s stuff, some of it was, like, to face the music was straight up like, I can do the Beatles better than the Beatles with my eyes closed. Like, whatever, Todd Rundgren's. The other podcast that I think we've all listened to that I loved was that that one where the guy goes to find if the Scorpions' Winds of Change was written by the CIA. But the best story related to that is about Doc McGee. He got it might have been another podcast, but Doc McGee did a whole thing where he got busted for a huge drug scandal by the feds. So he had to do a concert. And he's like, oh, okay, we'll get Bon Jovi, Skid Row, Motley Crue, and then the Scorpions, of course. Winds of Change. Gorbachev, by the way, cried when he heard the Russian version of Wind of Change. Wind of Change. So Doc McGee had to do a rock fest instead of going to prison. And he's like, if we're going to do something so profound where we bridge East and West cultures, why are we having, like, Skid Row? So the Scorpions were the only ones who took it seriously. The other bands were like, whatever, dude. We're here at the countdown to episode 1,000. 1,000. There's no blue skies or golden sunshine, but Rockin' the Suburbs has done 1,000 episodes. I also don't want you to forget about Echo Park Jimmy and all the other people in the suburban empire, you know, that have Mark Neese, for instance, these people who just love Jim and Patrick. So we'll be back to the countdown soon, but I just wanted to remind you. Woo-hoo-hoo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Like I was saying, whistling songs never get old. I hope you've all heard Vile Assembly's song, Not Quite Fair. I did it at the Hootenanny, not a big success, but listen to it. Watch it on YouTube, actually, because it's highly controversial. Assembly, Not Quite Fair. Have you tried to have, if people really still bought CDs, have you noticed all these collabos like Hot Chip featuring Jarvis Cocker? Or it's not even featuring, it's like Hot Chip, Jarvis Cocker. How do you alphabetize that? You're screwed, man. We're cooked, man. So the waiting's over. 2020, actually, on balance, still sucks, but it ended up not being, you know. What Klaus Meine said is, we don't need a guitar lick. We just need whistling. And it went down pretty cool. So leave me alone. Anyway, apologies to Matt Windler. I think I might have gone on a little too long this time. So feel free to ignore everything I said. But I just congratulate you boys on your 1,000th episode. And remember, from Banana Gun to Krunga Bin, Rockin' the Suburbs has you covered. So we had the balalaika, and I heard the balalaika. Oh, one last note. I just lost my voice. Oh, people always give you ideas for episodes. Where is that? The car chase scene in Against All Odds. That sucks. MTV contest episode. An episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. I feel like $1 million. Rockin' the Suburbs is a once-a-day pill for adults, an unjection, if you will, for people with moderate to severe music obsession for whom You Should Hear This or Song Exploder did not work well. Rockin' the Suburbs can reduce pain, swelling, and further joint smokage. One random note I forgot. Hey, I don't know if you got my other calls. This is Echo Park Jimmy. I think I might have called a couple times, might have got cut off. I finally got around, I've had this for 20 years. Did I ever tell you I was in the movie Almost Famous? And they have a special edition of Almost Famous. Please grab that immediately and put on the deleted scene. It's like, it's called the Led Zeppelin scene, I think. The kid, you know, Cameron Crowe tries to convince his mom that he can go on tour by playing her Led Zeppelin. And it's one of the funniest scenes. And what's even funnier is the scene, they couldn't get the clearance just for the bonus scene. So you have to do that. Remember when you used to play Dark Side of the Moon and watch Wizard of Oz? So you have to play the deleted scene, and it's Frances McDormand and everybody else sitting around listening to Led Zeppelin. So you have to play Stairway to Heaven and then watch their reaction as they're listening to Stairway to Heaven. It is some of the funniest stuff you will ever see. And I feel like Stephen Routledge has some kind of monopoly on new music. I don't know why. Because everybody contributes. But this is for Jim Lenihan especially. There's a band called The Incurables. And then it's a song called Is It Soda or Pop? Something to that effect. And it reminds me of our Toledo white boy bubble. We had Nancy Sinatra, some people had Tom Jones. We had Huey Lewis, some people had Hank Ballard and the Midnighters. We were in a white boy bubble, but just a couple of great recommendations. The Dolly Rots doing a cover of Stay, I Missed You. Have you guys seen Eric Didrikson on The Hoot doing Lisa Loeb? And then Dawes, one of the luckiest men in the world. Pandemic with another pop singer. Who do you think you're talking to? 11/9/16, Hardwired to Self-Destruct. So Jim and Patrick and the Suburbs universe. I think I called a couple times the other day. I think I rattled on about something. But I just wanted to make it clear in a year full of just ugliness. there were a few uplifting, hopeful concept albums that bled through. Bruce got the boys in the E Street Band back together, whoever's left, for Letters to You. And then I went on about the Killers, and I went on about Airborne Toxic Event. I feel like I gave the Killers album a little short shrift. It's a return to form, even without their guitars. And like I said, it's just got this Americanic, epic, panoramic sweep. Just very Western America, very plains. And if I didn't mention a track, it's the opening track, My Own Soul's Warning. I think I played a little Casio. But the concept of that is a little more esoteric. The concept of Bruce, I forgot what it is, but he's always trying too hard, like Mike Wagg says. But Airborne Toxic Event is specifically about his father. But I just wanted to remind you that life is all about green lights. What are green lights? Things that say, the things that give us freedom. Things we like. Things that say go. They affirm our way. I mean, if it ain't that piece of paper, it's some other choice they're going to make for you. You got to do what Randall Pink Floyd wants to do.
All right. There you go. Echo Park Jimmy, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say, Jim.
You got nothing? Let's first mention the 1,000th episode is coming up.
Yeah, totally.
And we still don't know what it's going to be.
No, we
but
don't.
But it'll be something.
It's on the
it'll
way.
Be something. We have been putting together our Suburbs Pod 1,000
That's exciting.
Playlist,
yeah,
right?
Totally,
so
man.
What
yeah.
is that?
I mean, it's just 500 songs from each of us, so
yes,
that are good songs. Yeah,
that's it. We're each putting together 500 songs that we think you should hear, and then we're gonna combine it into 1,000 song playlist that you should hear. Right? That's pretty much it.
Put that on shuffle, and you'll be fine. Yeah. And I'll say this, Jim. One thing that stuck out to me when EPJ was talking, was he still talking? Don't feel guilty if you see beauty in the ordinary. I mean, that to me really struck my heart. And I just thank God for that man. And when I can get this vaccine and move around safely, the first thing I'm going to do is get on an airplane, fly to California, and kiss Echo Park Jimmy on the lips.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
That's what I'm going to do.
That'd be a beautiful thing.
I'm going to take I'm going to take Harry S. Truman to meet all of EBJ's dogs.
I don't know. I'm not sure Harry S. Truman will survive the flight. You may want to keep him home.
He may die, but I'm going to take him anyway.
Okay, all right. No, I don't know. All right, I want to hear this song. So what do you know about Airborne Toxic Event?
Well, the only thing I really know is that I think the title's taken from Don DeLillo's amazing novel, White Noise. I've heard a few things here and there, and if EPJ likes it, I got to be on board with my ears open.
Yeah, same here. So I want to hear the song he said will bring tears to our eyes.
Absolutely.
It's called The Place We Meet 1,000 Feet Beneath the Racetrack. All right, I don't know. There you go. That's the song you wanted to sing.
Beautiful, man. You know, kind of had some Arcade Fire vibes, but yeah. I liked it a lot. I need to give it more time.
All right. He also mentioned that a one-year dog is actually, in human years, 30 years old. I don't believe that. I have a one-year dog.
Yeah,
I don't believe that he has matured to the equivalent of 30 years.
Yeah, we need to check those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scientifically and all that.
Yeah. But anyway, there you go. That was a good ride.
Oh, that was great, Jim. I don't even know what just happened, but I'm in. Let's do it again. It's all like right. The roller coaster. Let's get back on.
Yep. That's right. Okay. So just, you know, press play again. That's what I would say to mm-hmm. people. Give this one two listens.
Until you're not conscious. Yep.
All right. Next week, we have listener new music picks.
I'm excited,
from
man.
October.
Totally pumped.
And it's Thanksgiving week, which means it's a shorter week, but we're still going to get all those listener picks in.
Of course. Right? And we have three NFL games on Thanksgiving, so it'll be exciting.
Yes. Anything
Am I
good,
still
though?
Talking?
I don't know. The traditional Thanksgiving teams are not very good this year.
No,
so we'll
I think it's
happens.
Redskins Cowboys Thanksgiving.
Oh,
it'll be fun.
My goodness.
That's how bad it is. Yeah.
I'll still watch it. Okay.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, good idea.
All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys later. Soda.
You get the more rules they're going to try to make you follow. So just listen to Rockin' the Suburbs every day. Jim and Patrick, 440-1984. And like I said, we'll pick this up with some ramblings about Eddie Van Halen and the soundtrack to Wildlife. And his Pasadena days. The guy who wrote a book about Ted Templeman also wrote a book about the Van Halen brothers growing up down the street from Echo Park Jimmy in Pasadena. Look it up, folks. Bye.